Recently, when spending some time visiting with my parents and my brother, and we do that a little on the social distance style now in these days, we were reminiscing about a vacation that we took several decades ago to the Keys. And as part of our vacation, we went on a deep sea fishing trip. And we were excited to go out that evening and to just go out in the ocean to catch fish and to just have a good time. Well, it wasn't too long before we soon became aware of just how rough the water was that night, and it wasn't too far out into the trip before we were seasick. The captain didn't cut the trip short for those few that were able to stand and able to continue to fish. And so by the time we got back to shore, it was quite difficult to even be able to walk straight, to stand up. And so we got back to our hotel, and as I remember it, although things are a little foggy in the state of mind that we were at, I remember getting out of the car and kind of stumbling out with my mom and leaning on one another and not even making it in the door before we had to throw up again. There were people around watching, and we knew what they were thinking, or maybe we knew what we might be thinking if we were in that situation, watching a couple of women stumble in and probably putting some names on us and pointing fingers, because we looked like a couple of drunk women coming in from the bar that night. But you see, Matthew 7, 1 through 2 says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." We as humans can be so quick to pass judgment, to pass a judgment and make a decision that the one was made like that one that was made many years ago about us. And with the information the onlooker would have had in that situation, that was the logical explanation and judgment to pass. It made sense to stare and to point the finger. And that's part of the problem with passing judgment. We only have a little bit of the information. A person watching us didn't have the background knowledge and the chain of events that took place to know the real story, the why behind the stumbling out of the car, leaning on each other, the sickness. The reality is, in life, there are few times when we have all of the information about a person's life and what has led them up to a specific moment in time. We don't know all the things that happened to them, where they are from, how they were raised, what their greatest fear is. When someone makes the decision, we don't know the motives behind it or the why that comes with that decision. We look through the lens of our own eyes, our own lives, and how they live. The things that they say, the things that they do, looking at them just through our own narrow ability. I've been having my own awakening about judgments made on others in this season of COVID-19, when decisions are made about a variety of things. That's even what interested me one day as I was scrolling through Facebook, and I came upon a post, probably one of you, one of the church members made, and there was a video with the post. And the video was of a pediatrician talking about the idea of sending kids back to school. And I was so excited as I saw this video and clicked on it because I wanted to watch and hear what she had to say. I wanted to get her opinion I wanted to be given the answer. And the summary of what she said was this: whatever decision you make, whatever decision you make for you and your child and your family, it's the right decision for you. Well, I kind of huffed as I exited that video. You see, I wanted an answer. I wanted to know what was right and what was wrong so that I could feel confident in the decision that I was making as the right thing. And in light of judgment and my reality at the moment, so I could know if others were making the right decision. But you see, what is right for me, my child, my family, is not necessarily what is right for another. I'm thankful that my husband and I are both still able to work from home. So you see, we have a choice in the matter when so many do not. Some kids or family members have health risks that also don't really give them a choice in the matter. Some have learning needs that are different than others. Some are food insecure, so that need for food offered in school in order to eat is a necessity. There's this long list of things that people have to consider when making the decision. So do not judge. Another time in life when I had a great awakening about the issue of judging was when I became a single parent of a toddler. When that happened, I got to know other single parents, to hear their stories, to become familiar with their lives. I began to understand what it might be like if I didn't have a college degree that was paid for by my parents and scholarships that I received. What it might be like if there wasn't a preschool at the place that I worked. What it might be like if I didn't have friends and family members nearby to watch my child when needed. It was easy to pass judgment on people, right? I mean, look at them. They just let their kids run wild all over town and throughout the neighborhood after school and on the weekends. What I came to understand was that the parent was working their third job in order to put a roof over the children's head and food on the table. It may have looked like they weren't loving their children, but they were loving their children more fiercely than I had given them credit for, and in ways that I would never know. I'm learning the lesson that what we see in others is only part of the whole. Human judgment is limited by information we have and don't have. So therefore, living within our human condition, we tend to make decisions about people based on their worst moment and constantly find fault with what others say and do. As a critic, we pronounce and act as though we are superior to another. And as the superior one, we are entitled to assess people's lives and to even state success or failure, right or wrong, good or bad. The words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount today invite us, though, to let go of that fault-finding spirit in order to experience kingdom living in relationship, good, healthy, intimate, deep relationship with one another. Human judgment is limited by what we see and by what we don't see. And that is why Jesus gave this great illustration in our passage today. He said, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." As Jesus looked around at the religious life of his day, he was aware of the issues and the struggles that people had, living in relationship with one another, easily passing judgment, creating standards that were not realistic and made by those in authority, lifting self up by putting others down. So he spoke to those struggles and he modeled for the people then and for us now to be with one another in a way that is different, one that is generous with mercy, love, and compassion. Oh, I think about how Jesus treated the sick, those with leprosy and the disabled, whether blind, paralyzed, bleeding, unable to walk. He was not only willing to talk with them, but also to touch them. And when they cried out for mercy, he gave them mercy. He healed them physically and socially. As then, as healed people, they were allowed back into society, not cast out into the outer places. I think about the man told about in Mark 5 who had an impure spirit. At one point in his life, he was bound up by chains on his hands, on his feet. But he broke through those and now was just living out in the tombs. I mean, like, what kind of life is that? But that's the way people were treated. As if they were nothing. Inferior, less than, not important. Having nothing to offer. Often when Jesus would heal, he would tell a person that their sins had been forgiven, and ooh, this upset the religious leaders. They would rather have kept that person in the state of being unforgiven than to free them and to bring them back into that right relationship with God and community. Children were not seen as important parts of society, but Jesus would call the children to him and bless them. The status of the Samaritan woman Jesus came upon on the well that day traveling was changed as Jesus was not only willing to be served by her to receive that drink of water he needed, but also to share with her who he was and what he had to offer her. Jesus showed an example of his views of judgmental living in Luke 18. And it says this: to some who were confident of their righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Instead of treating the tax collectors like the Pharisees did, people who were beneath them, not as good as and not looked to be favorable, Jesus treated them with worth and dignity. Was he not only called one of them to be a disciple, but also on more than one occasion he chose to eat with them, to spend time with them, to get to know them. In 1 Samuel 16:7, we find these words: "The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Jesus confirmed this truth and this teaching through the way he lived, how he treated people, and through his words, like that said in John 7:24, "Stop judging by outward appearances and start judging justly." Jesus was setting us as humans, he was just setting us free from the idea that we have to be the judge. We don't have to be. That's God's place in life. Instead, we get to live within this teaching that Jesus has offered and be concerned about our own plank, not someone else's dust. We get to take our own plank out in order that we can see as God sees, to see people who are created in the image of God, people who are of worth and value, people as our brothers and sisters. So hear these verses from Matthew from the Message translation. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, "Let me wash your face for you," when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe the ugly sneer off your face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we come to you this morning and we confess that we have not always lived as we are being called to by Jesus, that sometimes we have acted as judge, that sometimes we have pointed the finger, that sometimes we have just noticed the fault in another while ignoring our own stuff, our own sin. So, Lord, I pray in thanksgiving that you have forgiven us, that you are transforming us, that you are continuing to mold and make us so that we can live in this, in the way that you have called us to live, that you have invited us to live as you modeled for us with mercy and love and compassion. So, Lord, help us to take the plank out of our own eyes so that we can see clearly, so that we can see clearly the people, your people, your creation, that we could see them as our brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Oh yes, let us rejoice in the life that God has given to us and the call that he allows us to live, and to rejoice in his love and his compassion, his mercy that's been given to us. Let us treat others, love others the way we want to be loved. I don't know about you, but I want to be loved judge-free. Because if I'm only looked upon by the mistakes I made, the sins that I've committed, that is no life for me or for any of us. So let us treat one another as Christ has treated us. And so I offer to you this final scripture from Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So go from this time of worship. Go in his love, his mercy, his compassion. Go in his forgiveness. And offer those blessings and gifts to one another and to the world. Amen.